Welcome to Massive Passive Cash Flow, the podcast that guides professionals to financial prosperity. Join our community and let's start building your wealth. Here's your host, Gary Wilson.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Massive Passive Cash Flow podcast. I'm Gary Wilson, your host. I'm glad to have you back. If you wouldn't mind doing so, if you haven't already done so, is please subscribe to the podcast. It's on 30 some odd channels, obviously the most popular being, you know, Apple, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Yahoo, you name it. It's all those channels. But just whichever one you enjoy, please do the formal subscription. That actually helps a lot behind the scenes, and it just doesn't cost anything, but it helps the business. So in any case, while you're out there, go visit globalinvestoragent.com. If you are an investor, and find yourself a global investor agent, because they're literally half the states now. It's a team of investor agents. They're not typical agents. They're not just going to point out the pretty carpet and the chandeliers. These guys are trained professionally to serve you and I, the investor, to know how to identify, analyze, and negotiate on and off market deals. Okay. So, and if you're an agent, by the way, boy, click on the learn more button, because now's the time to prepare for what's coming down the road economically. We know where it's already started. You're in the business. You know what I'm talking about. And I don't have to convince you. But there's a better way to build your model to include the right kind of investors, okay? Not just owner occupants and not all the no money down guys. These are real people with real money. And we know who they are because they're part of us. So in any case, do that. And in the meantime, we got a great guest today. Andy Gerchek is going to talk about insurance adjusting. Slightly different angle here, and you definitely want to pay attention, because in the business of real estate investing, most of us are used to playing offense. We're scoring points. We're putting points on the board, making money, and we don't think a whole lot about defense. Well, sometimes you got to play defense. Something's going to happen. You need to file a claim, and you need somebody like Andy on your side. So, Andy, first off, thank you very, very much for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time to share with us this critical part of our business, you know.
Gary, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure. You're big time, so it's nice to be on your podcast.
Oh, I appreciate that. let's start at the beginning. If you don't mind, give us a little bit of context on how you got to where you are, where you came from, how you got in this industry, because it is a very unique niche sector. But boy, when it's necessary, you guys are like, oh my gosh, you can't believe how important this is, guys, to have somebody like Andy on your side. So kind of fill us in the beginning, though. How did you get to this point, Andy?
Yeah. So just a quick background. We immigrated to America in 99 from Europe. Was in construction, car sales, construction, then back to construction, kind of mainly did all the trades. Met a public adjuster that was actually first African public adjuster in Illinois for 40 years. So he took me under his wing. Yeah, 40 years of knowledge that I got in about 3 years. And then there was another PA that came on with him too that taught us. So I had like 70 years of combined knowledge in 3 years that was just overflowed to me. And then, I was in construction. When I actually learned about the adjusting part of it, it was such a, I was just so gravitated towards what they do and how you can help people. That it just fit in perfectly what I wanted to do. And from there, I started also the adjusting. And we grew to now covering, I think we counted, we're in 19 states as of right now that we cover, that we're licensed in, and we're growing. And we've grown our portfolio with all these, with investors, landlords, just growing our portfolio and helping people. So it's a good feeling, and it feels like a good thing we're doing.
Yeah, well, it really is. So let's talk about that. It just kind of jump right into some, what it is that's going on, and what you're doing. Why it's important. So I've for over the years, was really lucky for a lot of years. I never had a major mishap till I had quite a large portfolio. And it's just a numbers game. If you have enough properties, enough tenants, something's going to happen. You're going to have a fire, a tree is going to fall on a property. And I've had both of those, by the way. And somebody could die in your unit. And then you've got, unfortunately, you've got to have, hazmat come out and somebody from the county to give you permission to go back in your property. And then you get all this work to do, and it's specialized work, and all that stuff has to be paid for. So where do you fit in? What is it that you actually do, I guess,
So we're a licensed public adjuster. A licensed public adjuster is licensed by the state that they work in to represent the insured only. not the insurance company, not in any affiliations. He's only representing the insured. What we do is we take the claim and take it from A to Z and basically not only negotiate it, but provide them all the numbers, whether it's inventorying the contents, whether it's providing what the structure damage is, assessing the damage, and then taking it to the insurance company, negotiating and settling and getting our clients the check instead of the, as you called it in the beginning, playing defense, right? You're playing defense if you're handling the claim on your own. When we come in is we get ahead of the insurance and now we're attacking. We're in front instead of always being kind of backtracked and, getting hit blindsided and not knowing what's going on. So we take that and then we basically take our clients by hand, take them to the end, get them a check, and now they're the winner. They're the one in control of the money, not the insurance company, not the restoration company, not any vendor. It's the insured, our client.
Excellent. Okay. So to help me understand this, then in the past, when I had something happen, like the first thing ever happened was this kind of interesting story. The code had changed as far as how many steps are there that require a handrail. And the old code was for if you have four steps out in front, you have to have a handrail. Well, they changed it to three steps. And I got wind of it. I said, I called the guys. I said, okay, go around to all the places where there's, a front stoop with a handrail, or not a handrail, and if there's three or more steps and there's not a handrail, let's get the handrails in. Sure enough, we had a handful of units. We had to go put handrails in. So we did. And then a couple, there was one of the jobs they did literally that night. It got really cold and we had freezing ice and snow and sleet and all the nasty stuff. And the front porch had frozen up along with the steps. And now I always tell my tenants that have the front porch, they're responsible for salting their front steps, not me with this, right in the lease. So in any case, tenant, her daughter was visiting. Her daughter was an adult at that point, came out, slipped on the ice, grabbed the handrail, and because the mortar was still setting, and we used the right kind of mixture so it would set in the cold weather, still hadn't set yet. Handrail ripped right out of the wall. She grabbed it, came out, and she messed up her ankle. It wasn't a big, big deal, but I just instinctively called the insurance agent. Now, thankfully, it was something small. I didn't have to go anywhere, sign anything. It was just really, it's all done. We've got her paid for it. I don't have to worry about a thing, But over the years, I've had other things, And what I didn't know then is that I call someone like you. Like, for example, I had a fire one time, and it was a major deal. And I was doing all my own negotiating. So at this point, this is where you maybe step in, or let's take it two different ways. Let's say discussion number one is, I call you right before I call the insurance company and what happens there. And then the second option is, or storyline is, I don't do that. I did what I did before. I call the insurance company and I realize I'm in up over my head. I need somebody on my side. And then I give you a call. So if we can take it two different ways, and it can give us the difference there. That would really help a lot of people, I think, understand why this is so important.
Yeah. So first, when let's say you had the fire, and kind of how let me explain how the insurance does it. There's a couple ways. Either they're going to send a vendor out, meaning one of their contractors, and that contractor's job is to sign a contract with you for no amount, just the work authorization, right? Because now they're going to be in control of the money. They're going to do the claim. They're going to pay 100% of the proceeds and you owe the deductible. Second, they can send out an adjuster, one of their staff adjusters, who's overworked, probably has got 10 claims a day, can't handle anymore. He's going to put a quick estimate. It's going to take him 3 months. You get an estimate like, holy crap, it's been 3 months and this is what I got. So that's it. Then you go with the, hey, get us a couple estimates. So now you're calling contractors getting estimates, but those are retail bids. Then you send it to them. They're like, well, it's not on our program. Well, what do you mean? What's your program? My contractor is just giving me a price. Well, it's got to be broken down. Well, my contractor is not going to spend 3 days breaking down an estimate. That's not his job. I was a contractor. I know that part. So then they put you in a pickle and then you don't know what to do. Whereas if you have a public adjuster, let's say you called us from day one, we would then call the claimant, we would file it, we would present the numbers, and we would tell the insurance, this is what you owe, here's why you owe it, and this is how much you have to pay. Now, if you called us after, let's just say they gave you an estimate or they came out and then we're working from behind, which is how we get our initial clients. Usually it's when someone gets either denied, gets a low estimate or something fishy they feel, is when they start calling us. And then we go in and we say, okay, well, what's your estimate? Okay, well, this is what they're offering you. This is the claim. This is the damage. Let me see some photos. Let's walk the property. And I'm like, yeah, you're missing 100,000, 200,000 in damages. And that's where we come in. And then we start negotiating and presenting everything. That takes longer when we're working from behind, because now they're ahead of us instead of us working the claim from the start. So that takes a little bit longer. So that's kind of the two ways the claim happens.
Okay. All right. But here, the key thing here is actually, you mentioned this early on, is you're really not working for the insurance company. You're actually representing, like me, you're the consumer, the insured. Is that?
That's 100. A public adjuster is licensed only to work for you, the insured. Whereas you have to think the agent, the adjusters, the staff, the guy that's working the desk, the guy that's going to come out, the vendors that come out, everyone works for the insurance company. They all get paid bonuses. Everyone's the insurance company. So like, who's on your side? How can the adjuster that, you always got to look at this, the adjuster that comes to your home from the insurance company, how can he work for you and work for them? Isn't that a conflict of interest? I mean, his job is to pay as little as possible and get to the next claim.
Right.
So it can't.
Yeah. Wow. You know, it's amazing. I just think of some other examples I had. And one of them was we had literally just completely remodeled this house. I mean, kitchens, windows, siding, roof. It was like a complete remodel. And there was a couple there with three children. And of course, the husband was primary breadwinner, and the mom was a stay-at-home mom with the kids. And a 7-year-old up in the master bedroom decided he wanted to climb on top of an entertainment center to grab his mother's lighter, because he had seen her light lighters and he wanted to see what that was like.
Wow.
So first danger is the thing could have toppled over on top of him. You know, thankfully it did, but he got the lighter and he decided he was going to light the curtain, see if that curtain would light on fire. Well, it did. And it caught the wall, and it dropped and caught the carpet. Next thing you know, the corner, the upstairs corner, that's where the fire company got there. You know, they're indiscriminate. Their job was to get access to the source as quickly as possible. They busted a giant hole in the brand new roof, you know, completely ripped out a window and some siding along with it. And at the end of the day, because of the smoke and the water damage, the fire actually did very little damage. The majority of it was smoke and water. I mean, everything had to be redone again, completely redone again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm heartbroken. But here's the irony in all this. You know, I was talking to my insurance guy, and I said, look, I got the estimate from the adjuster. And I said, you know, we could have already do that job for half that money. I mean, I've got my own crews to do the remodeling. And he said, you know, let me check on somebody. He said, you know what? They have a clause in there that says you as the owner can be your own project manager. And by the way, you can collect 10% of the cost of remodeling for doing that. So we literally did the job for about $40,000, about half of what they estimated. And I got to collect $4,000. So ended up getting a brand new remodeled house again. We put new tenants in there and raised the rent. So actually it worked out for us. But that's really extremely rare. We first have had a lot of policies, and we used the same company to get all of our policies. So it was like everything and under one roof. But I think that's where in most cases people aren't that lucky. They don't have the right kind of insurance. They have like a real simple basic form without any bells and whistles, and they don't have a cost of I forget what they call it, but you could probably explain this. What are the different types of policies? And then one is based on the value when you bought it. There's another one with automatic increases for increases in material and labor. I forget what they call that. But how can you, would you mind? I know it's a little bit off subject, but it's related.
Okay.
If you know how to describe that, because people need to know this stuff, you know?
Yeah. And going back really quick, before we get to your point, your story that you just said, where you had the fire loss, and then you got the job done for F, that's exactly what we explained to our clients. Like, stop calling the vendor, the agent. Don't stop. Because everyone's going to come in. Especially, you know, and there's two. Why majority of our clients, our investors, our landlords? It's because they're not in a hurry and they have their own crews. You know, as a homeowner, you just want to get home. If you have three kids, all you care about is getting your home fixed and getting there. You don't want to be in a hotel. So I totally understand that side. But if you're an investor or landlord, right, we always explain this. Stop. Don't be in a hurry. Just let us get you settled.
Yeah.
And then once you get the check, then start calling and getting some estimates. And that's when they're like, holy smokes. You got me three times more than we know. That's how it works. We get you paid. And And there's nothing wrong with it. What you're owed is what you're owed. What the retail price is different. How I explained it, if the car was stolen, the insurance company owes you for that car because you have a you have a policy for it. If you don't replace the car, they still owed you for it because you had it and you had the policy in place. It's the same way when it goes to structured damage. And when it gets to coverages or different policies, the most common is a replacement cost value. But what's happening now is with premiums going up and people trying to save a little bit of money, they're selling these ACV policies, which is actual cash value. So meaning if you paid for, I'll explain it like this, the easiest way. If they gave you $10,000, you bought a $10,000 furniture set, and that was 10 years ago, and you had a fire, it burns down. That $10,000, they're going to take 10 years, depreciate it, and they're going to say, well, now it's worth only $5,000. So your actual cash value is $5,000. Well, but I paid $10,000. Yeah, but you only have an actual cash value. What is it worth now? It's only worth $5,000 now. And that other $5,000, you can't recover because it's an actual cash value policy. Now, if you had an RCV policy, which is most common, is once you replace your item, then they will give you the other $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to be aware of what kind of policies, and we do that for our clients, where we, we review policies and make sure that there's no exposed liabilities.
We'll be right back with the Massive Passive Cashflow podcast after I invite you to Monday Night Live. Every Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, I teach a class without fail for you on subjects ranging from flipping to buying rentals, managing rentals, wholesaling, commercial, creative purchasing techniques, analyzing properties, identifying properties, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of subjects. And if you are a licensee, if you have a real estate license, you should definitely tap in because there are a lot of investor agents also in the class. Many of them are on the global investor agent team. So you can learn from them as well as from me how to actually work with investors correctly and profitably. All right, we'll see you Monday night. The link is in the show notes. Go ahead and register. We'll get right to the Massive Passive Cashflow podcast.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I know in hindsight, I probably should have just taken the check. But I didn't want to, I was always afraid of, we had floods, for example. The two hurricanes came through two weeks in a row, flooded everything. And it was just another disaster. And adjusters were coming around with all their owner occupants, the people that lived in their own homes. They were just stroking checks left and right, people from FEMA, but when it came to the investor properties, we got a lot more scrutinized. We had to go through project plans, all kinds of stuff. But same thing there. What I realized is they would tell me, they would say, no, just take the check and then get the work done. Just keep track of everything. And I did, but actually this is crazy, but it's perfectly legal. I didn't break any rules. I was trying to make sure, I shouldn't probably be getting money that I'm not using. And they were like, no, this is what it's adjusted for. You take the check. And we actually made money on that. We got brand new remodeled units, again, raised the rents again. And there was always some left over. I just consider that my project manager fee. And I even talked to the insurance people. They said, no, this is how it works. And I was surprised by it all, but we got far more scrutinized than regular owner occupants and that whole thing. And it was a big lesson in life. So let's go back to this. I gotta ask you, because I know I've met several people in the insurance industry over the years because of my position. I train people all over the U.S. and Canada, actually all over the world now, about investing in the U.S. And so I know a lot of insurance people. And you guys have the best stories, man. I mean, I don't know if there's anything you can share. Like let's talk about maybe your favorite case that you worked on. And obviously you'll have to keep names silent, but I don't know if you have one that comes to mind is like, man, this was a real doozy. And just to give people an example, what really happens out there,
So I'll tell you about my first claim ever. And that was with the PA that mentored me. The first job we went was a client. We represented a client. She was an investor. She had a fire in her four unit in Chicago. And I remember walking that property and the way that adjuster was in there. He flew in from Utah. He said, hey, I'm only here for a day. Let's go quick. Let's go over your estimate. Let's get this knocked down. We went through it. And I remember the control he had of that entire claim. And I remember him walking and stopping the adjuster and saying, hey, what are we going to do with this carpet? He's like, well, the carpet looks good. Yeah, but the firemen walked through it. You know, they damaged it. I could see footprints. They're like, okay, let's replace it. And we walked through this. Herb had so much control at that justice was like, okay, here's our estimate. He's like, yeah, let's just, here's a check, paid full, no questions asked. That story, to this day, I just remember that because the way a public adjuster can handle a claim and just control it and the maximum amount, I mean, that insured walked away, not only selling that building, took the money because we got her full policy limits. She took the money, invested in like four or five other properties, sold that one. I'm like, wow, she just grew her portfolio, yeah, you know, three times more. So it was from that claim, I just realized how much more we can do for people. And seeing people after we're done with claims like I always tell our clients, just hold on, everything's going to be fine because you're going to walk out in such a better position once we're all done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome.
That's my favorite. So,
yeah. And well, I appreciate you sharing that. So let's talk about this. There's different kinds of claims. And I mentioned a fire I had. I mentioned floods. The flooding was completely different because it was weird of what the things that were covered and the things that weren't covered. And also there was, when it comes to like personal belongings, you know, my houses were covered, but the tenants, their stuff wasn't covered. I mean, so what kind of claims, I guess, what kind of claims do you help with it? What can you share with people about investor owned properties and like the difference between water damage that's natural and water damage that's collateral? I mean, there's all these terms that I don't tend to know anything about them. I just know that I was affected by them. And then also the tenant stuff, you know?
Yeah, these policies every year get they're supposed to be in, you know, plain language, easy to read, but they're not. Even when we look at the policies, even though we've read them hundreds, thousands of times, they just get, you know, more legal, and it's just harder to comprehend them. And the language is so ambiguous, yep, that you're trying to figure out what's covered, what's not. For us, what we're seeing, especially now in this industry going forward for your listeners, is it's only getting worse because the adjusters that actually knew what they were doing, the good adjusters, they're gone. They're working for public adjusting companies or restoration companies. Not you have, you know, whoever, I mean, they're sending whoever they want. They're sending engineers, they're sending consultants, anyone that they can kind of push the liability on. So we're seeing it's getting worse and worse. But if you actually have a PA that knows what he's doing, your situation and the claim value, everything you're going to be in such a better shape. So with water damage, you have to be careful for a lot of, I'll give your listeners a tip. If they have sewer backup, maybe they don't have sewer backup coverage or a pipe overflowed upstairs. That's denied. You know, a story, we had an investor in Tennessee. He sends us a claim. It was denied. I look at a plumber's report. The plumber said there was a clog and then water overflowed. We got that claim covered, $70,000, even though it was denied because they said he had no sump pump or no endorsements. But a soft clog is different. It was actually clogged, then water overflowed. That's covered under coverage A, full limits. So knowing, for example, different terms and what's covered, you know, especially with smoke damage, like you had your property where it was just a little bit fire. It wasn't the fire that caused the majority of the damage. It was the smoke, it was the water. So with us, you know, even if we have to get a hygienist on that property to determine the extent of damage, that's what we'll do to make sure that we maximize every penny for that client.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a lot. Hey, I know we're going to get close on time here, but I knew this was going to happen because it's a unique subject. And I think it gets everybody's attention because you realize it's not like an everyday occurrence, but when something does happen, man, you got to really have the right kind of policy, the right guy on your side. But so you mentioned you're in, I think said 19 states. Where actually do you provide coverage? And then also in the states where you don't, are there options for folks listening that are in one of those states where you're not, which you don't have covered, you know?
Yeah. Finding a local public adjuster in that area, the states we covered 19 is because we go with our clients. If our investor says we have properties in this state, then that's where we'll reciprocate our license. So we're pretty quick. If a new client calls us that I have a property here, we had a fire. Yeah, we'll look into licensing and say we can get our license in a week and then we can cover that state. You know, so we kind of are growing as our clients grow their portfolios, we're growing with them. So that's kind of where we're at.
Nice. Okay. And Now, let's say someone is, you were born in Poland. I was born in Germany. Let's say we have investors from Poland and Germany, but they own properties in the States. Does that affect anything, or is the policy and your role as the adjuster serves them, and there's really no difference, even if they're different countries, you know?
No difference. Wherever they are in the world, we have clients that live, you know, in one state. Like, we had just a person call from France, and he has properties in Texas, and we looked over his policies and stuff, and it doesn't matter. You know, as long as you have a policy and we can get into the property, you're okay. It doesn't matter. You can be anywhere in the world. And actually, that's kind of the best time to have a PA, right? When you can't be there,
yeah,
have someone on your team.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned, too, sometimes you get called after a claim has been filed and the consumer is like, wait a second, this doesn't look right. But when's the best time for someone to reach out to you? Is it like for me, in hindsight, this is, you know, looking over years of experience, I would consider you part of the team. I personally would, you know, as soon as I buy a property, I would probably call you and say, hey, just want to let you know, got another property. Here's the information. Here's where it is. You know, is this something that you would cover in the state? But when, in your opinion, what's the best time for someone to actually reach out to you? You know?
So that's perfect. So every real estate, you know, I own real estate as well. And I have my team, whether it's a good attorney on staff, we have our agent. You should have a public adjuster on your team. So you should find a public adjuster. And some people will go, I don't need one. Nothing's ever going to happen to my property. Maybe it won't. But if it does, and if you don't have a public adjuster, call them and get them on your team. Because if, for example, if you bought a new property today, you'd send me your policy, Andy, we've got this property. Here's the policy. I can look at the building. I can look at everything, look at the policy and see if you have any open liabilities. That doesn't cost you anything. But I threw another glance at it from an adjuster side, because an agent doesn't look at it the way we look at claims. They're just an agent. They're selling a policy. When something happens, it happens. But, oh, you didn't have a coverage for it? Sorry. No, that was an extra. We didn't talk about it. So we look at all that. Where you have exposed. And then when you have a claim, we're the ones frontline for our clients, and we're handling that claim from the beginning. So then we're playing offense, and we're playing from ahead. So then there is no, you know, a lot of claims we get, Gary, that are denied or delayed or being investigated, not for any wrong reason. The insurance never did anything wrong. All they did was they talked too much. They said too much. They wanted to be, you know, too honest. They wanted to tell them the whole story of their life. And then they're like, well, red flag, red flag, red flag. Let's deny this guy.
Right.
And that happens all the time. So, but what happens with people, and I guess it's just nature, is they tend to say, well, if I hire a public adjuster, I have to pay him a fee. I have to pay him something, obviously, for his time. I'm just going to do it on my own. You know, and then the insurance will tell you when you call, well, you don't need anyone. You don't need a public adjuster. We're going to give you our own adjuster. Okay. Well, that doesn't make sense. He's working for you. Now he's going to work for me. Whose interest is he looking for?
Right.
But they're going to tell you that because, again, they don't want to pay out more in claims if they don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. Okay. I know I keep saying we're getting closer, but is there anything before we wrap up here, is there anything you think we should discuss or any questions I didn't ask that people normally ask that we can do on behalf of our consumers listening so that they're prepared? Any last words of wisdom or advice, you know?
Yeah. Make sure you have the right agent. Make sure you have the right policy. You have the right coverages. Don't be cheap on coverages. It's worth having extra coverages, maybe raising your deductible and saving some money on the side to pay that deductible, but making sure instead of, you know, a lot of people want to lower their premium. Well, if you lower your premium, it doesn't get lowered. No, coverage gets taken away. Right. So in order to lower your premium, if you can't afford it, maybe higher your deductible a little bit. And then instead of taking coverage away. Also, when calling a claimant, you know, don't say too much. Stop talking. You know, the less you say, the better it is. And also, you have to set a reserve with the insurance company. When they call you, you have to tell them the extent of damage. Because if you just say, I just had some wind damage to my roof. Oh, okay. They're going to set a reserve for, you know, maybe $10,000, $15,000. But if you tell them my roof was ripped off, water got in, all the bedrooms are affected, well, now they're going to set a reserve of $100,000. And that's a huge play in insurance, setting the reserve. So those would be my biggest tips, but get ready, prepare for the worst, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And by the way, for all the real estate agents, if you're listening, you know, write this down. It's All City Adjusting LLC. And Andy
is Andy, and it's GURCZAK. Is that correct? Your last name?
That is correct. Correct.
So for all the agents out there, remember, you have to stand out in a crowd. You've got to separate yourself from other typical agents when you work with investors. And this is one of those things you can use. Say, look, you know, I know a guy named Andy from All City Adjusting LLC. As soon as you buy a property, make sure he knows about it. Hopefully you never have a claim, but if you do, at least you're on a radar screen and call him first. It's playing good, solid defense. You know, just like in sports and basketball, you can't just score points. You got to play defense too. And this is one of the ways to play defense. And also the investors, just, you know, I don't have to repeat myself. I think you see now why this is so vitally important. So is it just like it sounds? All City, ALL, City Adjusting LLC, is that the website? Or what is, actually, go ahead and tell us what that is. How can we get a hold of you?
Website's allcityadjusting.com. You can fill out a contact claim review. We can review your claim for free. And then I'm going to give your listeners my cell phone. If they have questions or they want to get a hold of me personally, review their policies, ask questions, feel free to call me. My direct line is 708-655-4186. That's my, cell phone. They can call, ask questions. And going back to really quick, Gary, about that, having a public adjuster on your team, a couple of years ago, we got a call and there was a student. He said, "Hey, I have your number from my mentor. You did a claim for my mentor, and he always told us to get a public adjuster. So I'm calling you because I have this claim and this is what they're doing." Well, $400,000 later, the student was smart. He called us, we had a long talk with his mentor and stuff, but he walked out $400,000 more than what they actually offered him initially. So, wow. So get a PA on your team. It'll be worth every penny.
Oh yeah. Yeah. $400,000. I don't care who you are. That's a lot of money.
And he sold it. Yeah. He was really good. I got a big package from him as a gift. So it was really nice.
Nice. Okay. Well, Andy, I really appreciate you doing this. I know it's a rare subject, but when you're around long enough and you had enough properties, you realize you have to pay attention to these kind of things and have the right people on your team. And you're certainly one of the good guys that we want on our team. So appreciate you doing the podcast. And for everybody listening, thank you for listening. If you could please, when you're out there visiting allcityadjusting.com, please leave a review. Whatever your channel is listening to, iTunes, iHeartRadio, leave a review for this podcast for Andy, okay? It's what makes the podcast world go around, and we really appreciate you doing that. And the last thing you want to visit is the globalinvestoration.com website. If you are an investor, grab an agent off of there. And if you are an agent, click on Learn More. This is the economy's changing, and this is not the time to panic. It's the time to prepare, and we can help you do that. Got agents halfway around the country. Just come to class and learn what it's all about. That's all I'm saying. Okay, you guys have a wonderful day. God bless you and your families, and we'll see you on the next Massive Passive Cashflow podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Massive Passive Cashflow. Be sure to go to realestatewithgarywilson.com to join our community and start building wealth today.